Our scripture reading, the passage that I will share the sermon from, is taken from Matthew chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 13 to 21. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 21. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he has ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. This is the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for Christmas and what it means for each one of us, Lord. So, Lord, as we discern from this passage your word to us, Spirit of the living God, speak to every heart that is here, Lord, that we may respond to you. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to start with a question. How has 2020 been for you? How has the year been for you? No, I think 2020 has been a strange and challenging year. If you look at what's happening, not just around us, but in the world also. The COVID-19 has forced us to accept new realities and new way of life. All of us here are without masks. That's a new reality, a new habit. The virus not only threatens our health, but all of life. Almost instantly, the economy turns south. Businesses slow down, workplace layoff, restructure are a reality in some of the businesses, in some industries. Schools and curriculums were also disrupted. And today, we are certainly not out of the woods yet. We read with concern about the spread of the virus in some places that cannot be controlled. And then there's news of mutation, discovery of a new strain. All these adds to our worries. Now, this year may have been especially difficult for some of us. You may have lost a loved one and are still grieving. Perhaps you are dealing with a family situation, still trying to recover from an unfortunate accident. Now, I believe all these adds to our stress, fear, and uncertainty. Question: are you in the mood to celebrate Christmas? What hope does this day bring? Well, if Christmas is about the overseas holiday, merrymaking, the shopping, the feasting, or that year-end bonus, then there isn't much to look forward to this year, isn't it? The COVID-19 has stripped all this away. And perhaps it's a sober reminder for us too. If Christmas centers around all these things, then we will be left empty and without hope. What do we lean on when all these are stripped away? Who can we depend on when what's ahead looks bleak and uncertain? Our passage today identifies with us. You know, the first Christmas, or the birth of Jesus Christ, is not all joy and peace. If you read our passage, which you heard, there is tension, there is danger and uncertainty. There are forces that are against God's purpose for Christmas. But we will see in our passage, and this is the hope, that God's purpose in our life will still prevail despite the difficulty and the challenges. You know, in the previous week, Pastor Jordan shared, what is Christmas? Christmas is God being with us. The Son of God, our Lord Jesus, came, was born to reconcile us to God later through his death. And then last week, Reverend Jackson shared with us that our God is an extraordinary God who works through extraordinary means to bring salvation, hope to all of us. In our passage today, it takes on an unexpected turn of events. Verse 13 alerts us to impending danger. It tells us that an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, gave him this instruction: rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to another country. Rise, take, flee. It tells of an urgency in this matter. And these three verbs tell us that Bethlehem, the place where Jesus was born, has become a place of danger. Why did the family have to run? Well, we are told that Herod was searching for the child Jesus. Herod was king of the land at that point of time over Judea. And earlier, there was this group of wise men who were searching for the child Jesus. And Herod told them, you know, when you search him, come back and tell me where he is so that I can worship him. But Herod was lying. Look at verse 13. It exposed Herod's true intent. Herod wanted to destroy Jesus. In other words, kill him. And later on in verse 16, when Herod realized he was tricked, he sought to kill all the male children under two in Bethlehem. Now we see that Christmas is God coming to us. But there is danger. There is tension with the birth of Jesus. There is a threat to destroy God's purpose and his plan to save us. I'd like us to study the person of Herod a little bit. We heard about him last week. Why does Herod want to destroy Jesus? He's just a child at that point of time. Now, history tells us that Herod was a king known as Herod the Great. He had this title, or rather he took on this title, because he has accomplished many things. He built fortresses, he built bridges, he built public buildings. But Herod has an agenda when he built all these things. He did it to make the property of the land, the prosperity of the land. And all this is to promote his fame and pursue his personal goals. And no matter what Herod tried to do, one thing is true about him. He is not the rightful king of Israel. Herod got his kingship through political and manipulative means. You will not find Herod in the family line of Jesus. If you look into the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, you won't find his family or him there. Herod was not the people's choice. And Herod was a tyrant because he's very, very insecure about his position and whatever that he have. And he will eliminate anyone he sees that is suspicious, including his own family. It is said that Herod murdered his wife and sons when he was suspicious of them. So Herod is someone who holds on to position, power, and prosperity very tightly. And so when the wise men came to look for a child which they identified as the king of the Jews, Herod was very shaken. There is another king? You know, the wise men ask a very fascinating question in chapter 2. They ask, where is the one born king of the Jews? Oh, in human monarchy or kingship, you're not exactly king or born king immediately, right? You're first a prince child, and then there's a coronation service, then you are made king. But here, the wise man is not looking for a prince, but someone that is already born as a king at birth. Now, there are many kings in the Old Testament, in the Bible, in Israel's history, but the people of God know there's only one true king, and that is God himself. And throughout scriptures, God has hinted through the prophets thousands of years ago that he will come and dwell with his people. So one example we see is the prophecy earlier in the chapter in verse 6, where God has said, it has been prophesied that Bethlehem, the land of Judah, will produce a ruler who will shepherd the people of God. And so when Herod heard this prophecy coming of being fulfilled, he was very worried. If the true king of God has come, what will happen to my throne? What will happen to all that I worked for? Jesus' coming means Herod has to dethrone, and his life will have to change. He has to submit to Jesus' authority. And so for Herod, Jesus or Christmas is a very dangerous thing to him. And so Herod's response is, I will eliminate this Jesus at all cost. Now, brothers and sisters, as we reflect on this story, Herod can be a response to Christmas. Jesus is a threat. He must not have a place in my life. Well, friends, I'd like us to ponder on one question. If Christmas means that Jesus is the true king and he has come, how does it make us feel? This will probably make some people very uncomfortable. You know, we are happy to accept, if Christmas is about celebration, about gifts, it's about lunch later on. But that's not what Christmas is really about. That is what the world likes to make Christmas to be. Christmas is the true king has come. And this king is the real and rightful king of our lives, the owner of our lives. And he will test our motives. And if Jesus is the king, that means I submit my life decision, my lifestyle, whatever I own, under the authority of this king. So something for us to reflect, is there a Herod in our lives today? Is there something that prevents us from following Jesus or to know him as the true king? You know, friends, whatever that we hold tightly to, like Herod, it is going to be temporary. You know, if you read the rest of the chapter, Herod died, and his kingdom came to an end. Someone else will take whatever that he has. But Jesus' coming is not to take from us. It is to give. He came to give us eternal life. And that is what Christmas is about. God took on this dangerous mission to be born among us, to be hunted down, to give us life. There's another part of the Bible that tells of Jesus' mission, why he came. And that is in Luke. He says this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That is why Jesus came. And when he rose from the dead 3 days later, he tells us that he is the king who lives forever. And his kingdom is an eternal kingdom. So friends, what would you rather trust? The temporary things of this world? Or will you trust the eternal king who promises an eternal kingdom? We heard how the first Christmas was one filled with difficulties and challenges. Someone wanted to destroy Jesus. God's word to us is not to trust in the fleeting things of the world. Trust in the King who holds your life, my life, for eternity. And we will see in this passage that despite the difficulties, the tension, the challenges, God will still fulfill his purpose. And we see that in the way God guide and protect the whole situation and the family. Now in verse 13, God sent his messenger to guide Joseph, his word, to flee, to escape. We see how God guides Joseph on the next move at the right time to return. Joseph basically didn't have to worry because God is ahead of him. God sees the danger ahead, the uncertainty. All that Joseph had to do is to obey and to follow. He tells us that, you know, in our uncertainty, our difficulty, God is with us also. Is actively at work to guide and to protect. He can see what is ahead of us. And he's certainly not absent from our situation. You know, when Jesus took on human flesh, it tells that he's a God who feels pain. He knows what you and I are going through. So trust him with our lives. Now later we will witness some of our brothers and sisters who are getting baptized, confirmed, and transferred to the church. You can read their stories, their life stories, and their testimony in the booklet that you have. And as you read their testimonies, you can see, you can observe for yourself how God guides each and every life. He shapes them, he protects them, he molds every life. And God is not done with you, my brothers and sisters, as you take your baptism vows and your confirmation. He will continue to journey with you. There are challenges ahead, but we can be assured that He will continue to walk with you. God can lead, can guide us through the uncertain times and the challenges that we face. Now, the passage also shows us that God will fulfill His purpose in the midst of the danger and the challenges. And we see this in how, despite the tension, two prophecies were being fulfilled. The first is in verse 15, you know, where it says, the prophecy that is fulfilled is God speaking and says that out of Egypt I will call my son. And this is actually a prophecy or was spoken thousands of years ago in the Old Testament. God had told the people then that Joseph and his family and Jesus, they will come out of Egypt. So it's not a surprise. God already knows what's going on in our lives. You know, there's another very interesting prophecy that God fulfilled in verses 17 to 18. It tells of this prophecy that was spoken thousands of years ago by a prophet, Jeremiah. And we read the prophecy, it says that a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping, loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted. If we read the prophecy at face value, it describes a tragedy. It tells of a mother who lost her children, and that's what's happening when Herod was killing children in Bethlehem. You know, but as I was studying this prophecy, when it was first spoken in Jeremiah 31, there was an interesting interpretation by another commentator. And he highlights this, that this prophecy is in the context of Jeremiah 31 in the Old Testament. And in Jeremiah 31, it is actually talking about God restoring and hope for the people. The people of God was exiled in a foreign land, and the entire chapter actually tells of the day that God will bring His people back and restore their lives. And so if you read the prophecy in the light of its context, it is a lament, but yet it is one filled of hope. A great hope awaits. God will restore the fortunes of His people. And very interestingly, this passage in Jeremiah 31 also mentions the new covenant, where God will give us a heart of obedience, that we are able to obey Him. And all these will be fulfilled through the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what all these tell us is, yes, there is danger, there is uncertainty in life, but at the end of the day, God is still involved and working in and through our lives, guiding us to His good purpose. You know, a few weeks back, I met a brother. He called me after we have lost contact for many years. And so he met up. I mean, we met up. He said he wanted to talk to me. Okay, we met up and chat after so many years. I was very sorry to hear that actually he has been in prison for many years in a foreign land. And he got into a traffic accident. Unfortunately, the law was not on his side. And he shared with me his suffering and struggles in prison, in a foreign land, where no one can visit him. But in the midst of the difficulty and the challenges that he faced, he told me that he experienced God so many times. he shared with me, you know, he tried many ways, his own method to buy favor from the prison guards, to buy comfort in the prison, and it all didn't work. But when he prayed and depended on God, God sent miracles. God sent people to give him what he needs. And he told me that, you know, for many years of being a Christian and going to church, he didn't take his faith seriously. But then in prison, God used him to pray for people, to encourage people, and to share the gospel. And through him, God brought hope to many prisoners. And we see that God brought good out of this situation, even though it was a painful thing. God's purpose will prevail in the midst of difficulty and uncertainty. You know, brothers and sisters, life can throw us all sorts of challenges. I believe all of us have experienced that one way or another. You may have fallen away from God and things didn't go well. God's word to you is, come back to him. He can fulfill his purpose in your life. And perhaps some of you are going through some uncertainty, anxiety. You do not know what's ahead of you, what the future lies. As we hear God's word today, his purpose in your life will still prevail if you trust him. You know, I'd like to invite those of you that you have not known Jesus, or you have known him but you have, you know, along the way fallen away. The Lord invites you to trust him. And if this is something you like to do, then you can pray the prayer on the screen with me. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, know that I've sinned against you. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. Believe that you have died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn away from my wrongdoings, Lord. Invite you to my heart and my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that, Lord, despite the times we are in or what we face, you are a God who can work your good purpose in our lives. So, Father, I pray for all who hear, that, Lord, you will bless each and every person here, that Christmas will be a time that they know that you are with them, working out your good in their lives, in our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.